Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Appreciate you joining us. Getting ready for Christmas here in a couple days. And I know that you've got all kinds of busyness going on in your life, so it is extra special that you would join us and prioritize the podcast in your life. More importantly, prioritize the Word of God. We are in the middle of 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we left the javelin in midair. So we're going to pick it up for context in verse 33. Remember, Jonathan and David have made this pact together, and unsure about the response of Saul, and Jonathan's going to go back in and find out what's going on, and it's not boding well as Saul just gets very, very angry that David is gone. He doesn't believe Jonathan. He believes they're in cahoots. It's obvious now to Jonathan that Saul wants to kill him. He said as much. And the Bible says in verse 33 that Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. You know, John, Saul is just a dead giveaway at this point. His anger has bested him. It has revealed it's just revealed his heart.
It surely has. You know, Saul should have been a man who led the country aright. And we've talked about this before, but he had every prospect of doing great, but he spiraled downward quickly, and now he's just out of control. You know, he's irrational right now, insulting Jonathan's mother, throwing a javelin at Jonathan. Saul is acting like a madman right now. He is in bad shape.
The irony is that Saul's pride has overtaken him in such a way that it's like, I just don't want David ever to be the king. Why can't I just be the king that gets all the glory? And I'm fine with David as long as he's number two. So I just don't want David to have that control. I don't want David to get that attention. And yet that's exactly what's happening. What's happening is David is controlling you, Saul. He is dominating your thinking. Every waking hour, he's controlling your life. Your anger and your focus on David has now become your God.
You know, that's the way anger often works in life, Pastor. As you very well know, talk with people over the years, people often get very angry at some individual and they really want to have it out with that individual. But the person who's so angry is the person that suffers. Often the other person goes about their life and God uses them to do great things, while the person who has all this anger, they're the person that really suffers because of their own sin.
Yeah, and anger is an indicator in your life and in mine. It's an indicator of a heart condition. It's not to say that anger itself is always wrong. It's not. Jesus became angry, but you know, what is the object of my anger? What is the source of my anger? What is the duration of my anger? These are all issues with which the Bible deals very carefully. Look at verse number 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. So there we have anger begetting anger, and yet one anger is unjustified. The other anger is very justified. Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, just had his own dad throw a javelin at him. His own dad expressed a totally irrational attitude toward his best friend. And the Bible says that Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. So interestingly, Jonathan, his anger is described as fierce anger. It's every bit as real as the anger of Saul. And yet, Saul's anger is unrestrained. It throws a javelin at his own son. Jonathan's anger, as fierce as it is still under control. He leaves the room and does not retaliate by throwing a javelin back.
You know, I think about Saul's anger, how just selfish it is. Saul's anger is all at his own selfishness, what he wants in his life. He hates David, wants to kill David. And so he tries to, you know, make this case before Jonathan. Jonathan doesn't accept that. So Saul throws a javelin at him. Whereas Saul has selfish anger, though, Jonathan has anger because an injustice has been done to somebody else. David has been wrong. And that just bothers Jonathan greatly that his father would do this when Jonathan knows that David is a just and righteous man.
Look at verse number 35. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? Remember, that was kind of the deal that Jonathan and David had made. If the arrow is beyond, then that means the news was bad and you need to leave. Verse 38, and Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So this final and sad farewell that David and Jonathan have, I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine this at all either. You know, Jonathan has found the bad news out. What David already knew in his heart was true, but now this is confirmed. Saul wants to kill you, David. You know, in this land, if you stay here, my father's going to try to seek your life and kill you. And David knows this. And this, so there are many emotions going into this. As I think about this scenario, I think of a passage you mentioned before in Acts chapter 20, whenever Paul goes to the people at Ephesus. Now, there's nothing bad happening as far as like we have here with David, but just Saul, well, I'm sorry, there we find that Paul is with people that he loves from Ephesus, and he weeps with them. There's parting, saying goodbyes. So here we have not only the emotion of you want to be killed by my dad, but the emotion of saying goodbye.
The emotion of saying goodbye. And David's realization that there's nothing in this, humanly speaking, for Jonathan. David is so humbled by this. He bows himself three times. I don't deserve this kindness. I don't deserve this grace. That Saul is against me. Saul wants to kill me. By helping me, it's actually hurting you. I mean, you've put yourself in harm's way. You've put yourself as a target of the javelin. You have relinquished your own right to the throne to help me. There's a great love and affection because David realizes that Jonathan doesn't owe him this, but has done this just out of grace.
You know, and David realizes that Jonathan has been willing to stand up, although it meant wrong happening to Jonathan. And so often in life, people sometimes know that wrong is being done, but they're afraid to speak up. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to have any conflict. And so rather than step up and take action, they just sit idly by and let things go wrong. That's not the kind of man Jonathan was. And David knows that. And David hates to tell him goodbye.
The covenant that they made was a covenant between the two of them, but it included their offspring. That by making a covenant with Jonathan, I'm saying that Jonathan, I am going to do good to all of them related to you forever. And I can't help but think again about the Lord Jesus. how the Lord Jesus is our Jonathan. You know, we are the ones that deserve to die. We are the ones that the righteous demands of the law can righteously seek to execute. And yet, who stood in between? Jesus did. And he offers us his own identity. He gave us grace that we didn't deserve. And I think the thing for us to do as David is to recognize that grace, to realize humbly that we don't deserve this, and then to make the pledge that we want to live our lives to honor the one that stood in our place. And we want to honor all of those that are attached to him. And so even when we love Jesus, we love Jesus by loving those that are related to him, the brethren. And Jesus said, if you love me, then love each other. Then love each other. And I think Jonathan is saying, David, if you love me, then love those whom I love. Love those who are part of me. And if we love Christ, then we must love his body.
That's a great reminder, Pastor, about how we as believers, disciples of Christ today, if we're truly going to walk as disciples of Christ, then we've got to do what you said. We got to love each other. And so often today we find people in the church, and I'm not speaking about any particular church, but just Christians in general often, where we find people at odds with one another, people arguing over issues that really are not paramount issues, and there's a lack of unity. But I think so much of John 17 and Christ's high priestly prayer, how that over and over again, Christ prayed that his body, his believers might be unified. That's what God wants us to have toward one another. As we have that love, then unity comes a lot more easily than when we have strife and division, obviously.
I don't know what the reunion was like when David and Jonathan met after this life was over, but it must have been a sweet reunion to hear them talk, to see the satisfaction of faithfulness kept and a life well lived. What a sad and yet instructive passage this is, and I hope it bears relevance to your life, both in your personal friendships and ultimately in your faithfulness and devotion to your Jonathan, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We're done with chapter number 20, so next time we'll just jump right into chapter number 21. It's a short chapter, but wow, it's a power-packed one. I know that you'll enjoy it. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.